Hey guys, welcome to this week's Angler News Fishing Podcast series. This is your KZN report for the 17th of November 2022. I'm your host, Vanessa Green, and KZN, the fish are here. Yes, we've got some bad weather. We've had some dirty seas, some big seas, some heavy winds, but the summer season is here, and along with that summer season are the summer species that has come through with it. Now, we've had the big bumpy seas on our offshore side, we've had some heavy winds, but with that being said, the fishing has been absolutely fantastic. It is popcorn season as well as some other good pelagics that's bending rods all over the KZN coastline. As for your rock and surf, well, there has been amazing catches of some edible and inedible action, including some raggies down the south coast, which in areas hasn't been caught before. As for our freshwater, the fishing has been good on all fronts, and Jan is going to get into that later on in the show. Now, along with that good news that I've just spoken about, there's also been some seriously concerning news which has to be addressed. We have been addressing it over the last couple weeks, and we are going to elaborate a lot more on this because it was really disturbing to see. So we have one real bumper of a show lined up for us this week. But before we get into it, special thanks to our sponsor, the Kingfisher, and this is their feature product for the week.
The Daiwa Saltest Star Drag Multipliers are strong, yet compact and light. A drag rating of as much as 10 kgs of pressure to the spool. Constructed from machined aluminium and anodized for maximum corrosion resistance, these are high-performing, durable reels. True Free Spool makes them ideal for long casting or live bait fishing. 6.4 to 1 gear ratio makes them fast enough for jigging, yet powerful enough to land big fish. Daiwa. Feel alive.
Thank you once again, Kingfisher. So guys, let's kick off the show because we have a bumper one. And we are going to start it off with Adam, who is reporting from your areas on the lower south coast, being Ramsgate, moving on to Margate, Shelly Beach, Yuvongo, and Port Shepston. He is talking about a raggy or two that has been caught. He's talking about the big winds, the bad seas, but he's also talking about the good fishing that's been happening at the moment. So here is Adam from the South Coast.
Good day, Vinesh and fellow anglers. It's the 16th of the 11th, 2022 on a Wednesday. And guys, it's definitely been a bit on the poor side in terms of weather the last few days. Vinesh, we've had some really bad winds and rains and cloudy days on the lower South Coast. And I know that the Durban area has also been getting pretty much of the same. However, I do think that the Durban guys and Durban North guys are getting a lot more fish than what we're getting down here on the lower coast. I know there's still been some good catches of Gary Kingfish and a lot of non-eds aside. But in terms of numbers, it does look like that the guys on the North Coast and Durban areas, Warner Beach, and those particular spots are definitely getting a bit more bites than what we are. I do suspect, however, though, that it's got to do with most of our rivers opening down on this side. We did have a lot of rain over the last few days, as you know, and most of our major river systems have popped their banks, and some of that brown water has obviously come out. And along with it, a lot of mullet. So there's been a lot of small cob hanging around, with one or two bigger ones also being landed. So that's always good to see. And some nice fish being released, Vinesh, which is, again, good to see. So going back to that, further south, most of our gullies have been a bit cleaner. So your sort of Trafalgar, Munster areas have been fairly good. I know even in the Manabe area, we had on Sunday some fairly clean water, Monday, Tuesday this week. So there's still some decent catches of bronze bream. There's been a few small rockhod as well, one or two yellow bellies and a few catface rockhod, which is always nice to see. I mean, as we know, catface being one of the more common species we catch on the lower coast, always put up a good fight from themselves, from whether they're being small or big. There's also been a good amount of non-eds, though, however, Vinesh. I know Splashbrock being one of the spots that's, you know, been firing, and also Stabell in Mzumbi. Moving over to Stabell, it's definitely still one of the spots that I would try for a non-ed or an edible. You know, whether it be a Garrick or a Kingfish over to a Grey or a small Rag or whatever it may be, it's Stabell's definitely a spot. I mean, it's always been a good area to fish for eds and non-eds for many, many years. You know, going back 30 plus years, obviously, as we know, the fishing's definitely slowed down as time's gone by, but it's still an area that I would want to try, particularly if some of the other spots and the deeper water areas aren't really firing. It might be a spot that I want to go and throw a line. I know there was a nice raggy recently that was landed at the Yvonga Beach area. Fair size as well. So, I mean, big ups to the angler landing that. Yvonga Beach, obviously, an easier area to land at Vinesh because you're basically on a bay. I mean, there's not much to get cut off on. But good to see a different species there. You know, we're typically only getting blacktail, crayfish, a few carrows, and once or twice a garrick or a shad. But good to see, and a kingfish, but good to see a raggy coming out there. It was just a nice catch, really, you know. Also, there was a nice big size one of 100 kilo plus recently that was landed at Splash Rock by a local fisherman of the name of Ivan or Ivan. He always only mainly targets sort of non-eds, and he's definitely one to go and speak to when you want to get a tiger or a rag bag, because he gets them. And Splash is an area where they are known for. You'll definitely go and get a tiger or a rag, and occasionally some shad and some cob. As we know, that place gets pretty much full up like Margaret Pier when the shad get on the bite there. So, yeah, going over to shad, I see there have been a few big ones around. As we know, those blue shad out of season always pop up. Guys will be fishing with a live bait mullet or something like that, or a blacktail. And obviously it gets chopped in half because the shad just don't want to swallow the hook, unfortunately. Or fortunately, it just depends on which way you look at it. It is out of season, so it's good to see a lot of those fish being put back. As you remember, guys, it is out of season for shad. So if you catch one of those okies, please put it back. But yeah, not to be a disciplinarian, if you want to call it, but there's a lot of big shad around. So listen, targeting them on some light tackle maybe and just going having a bit of fun with them would be a nice day out, so to speak, if you want to call it. So again, moving over to the non-eds, Vinesh, a lot of hammerheads around, a lot of the smaller guys, you know, from that sort of 2 kilo up to the 12, 13 kilo range. A lot of guys have been complaining of their sinkers being bitten off, which, as we know, it's those smaller hammers. You tend to catch one that might be 60 centimeters and yet it weighs like 40 kilos because it's eaten 40 kilos of sinkers. So, yeah, there's a lot of them around. I also suspect that's pretty much why our sort of Manaba, Yvonga area, there's really not much sort of live bait around, not much sort of blacktail and carrows around. As we know, those smaller hammers tend to love feasting on those fish. So, you know, it's been a bit tough, even at the Margaret Pier spot, you know, guys have been complaining. There's not really a lot of small livies around. It could be because of those big shad or because of those smaller hammers hanging around. Look, most of our areas, you know, are slowly cleaning up again as we're having sort of the right amount of wind in the right direction, Vinesh. So I do suspect that this weekend, looking at the forecast, should be good for all facets of fishing. Moving over to bass fishing, freshwater fishing. A lot of the paddock dams have been seeing a lot of small fries, a lot of small bass in the waters. With a lot of the bass being focusing on the smaller natural colors, actually a few of the smaller bass being caught, they've actually been spitting out the small fry, as you want to call it, when they're being landed. There's loads of small bass around, which makes it always fun targeting numbers, you know, sort of competing with your mate who can catch the most amounts. The bigger guys have been a bit sort of few and far between, which I suspect is mostly, you know, on the weather, as it hasn't really been settled the last few days. The pressure's sort of been up and down, and we know that definitely plays a part in terms of fishing, fresh or saltwater. Junior flukes, smaller senkos, spinnerbaits, and some small cranks should definitely do you good in catching some bass. Sometimes fishing in the wind, however, does definitely get you the bite finish. Does get the bite going, as we all know, fresh and salt water, again, it gets the water oxygenated and gets the fish pumped up. So, you know, if that happens, maybe some top water in the morning with some smaller plastics later on should get you the bite. And color-wise, chartreuse, Junebug, and Watermelon Red, the standard, you know, as we all know, the industry standard, as they say. Going over to the weather, Vanessa, it looks to be pretty good for this weekend, which I am quite amped about. It means we should be able to throw a line or two. But guys, again, just remember, it is only just a forecast and things can and do change all the time. So please, I will not put my head on the block, that is for sure. So tomorrow, Thursday, 8 kilometer winds southwesterly, picking up to 15 k's an hour, with those swell sitting around 1.7 meters at a 10 second gap for most of the day, Vanesh. However, changing to a south-southeasterly in the later afternoon. So Thursday, tomorrow, looking good. Friday, a 5 kilometer hour wind in the morning with a light southwesterly blowing, turning to an easterly till around the evening, where it changes to a south with the swell dropping down from Thursday at 1.7 to Friday being 1.3 meters at a 9 second gap. So the swell dropping a bit, but the wave period pretty much staying the same. However, if things don't change, as we know they do, Saturday, the southwester is going to pump, gusting to around 50 k's an hour, with the swell jumping early in the afternoon to around 2.5 meters, with it hovering between 6 and 9 seconds. So the wave period being fairly close, however, not going to be too bad, but the wind's going to be pumping and the swell does pick up for Saturday. Sunday, the day of rest, the wind definitely slows down early in the morning, and so does the swell, from a 2 meter swell down to 1.5 in the later afternoon to early evening. The wave periods, however, sitting around the 10 second mark, with the winds also sitting around 10 to 20 k's an hour, from a westerly to a south to an easterly in the late afternoon. So if it stays the way that it is, Vinesh, it looks like Saturday is blowing out. However, tomorrow, Friday, and Sunday will be the pick of the day. So if that wind doesn't push through early, we've pretty much got a pretty good weekend. Bang on for fishing, eds and non-eds. So guys, have a super weekend. Stay safe, tight lines, and let's see those catches.
Thank you so much for that, Adam. What a great detailed report with what's been going on down the South Coast. I absolutely love your content you put through. And thank you for getting me excited about that ragged-toothed shark on the bite. That's certainly a species I'm going to be targeting over this weekend. I'm glad to hear that the big blue shad has been put back. Always great to hear. We're going to touch on that shad fishing a bit later on in the show. But as Adam said, for now, the lower South Coast, yes, heavy winds over Friday, Saturday, but Sunday is certainly the day to be out there. Now, moving on down to Warner Beach and Amanzantoti, we are with Gary with this week's fishing report, and this is what he had to say about it.
Good afternoon, chaps. It's Gary here at Kingfisher Warner Beach. Good afternoon to you all. I hope it's going well. Yeah, there certainly were shad were really troubling any type of bait thrown over the last week. A couple of Garrick came out, a couple of kingies, a nice yellowtail, or the black tip as they call it these days, I saw come out along the lower flats there. Other than the shad and those kingies, and the one the yellowtail came out on a shad trace. I have heard of a couple of cob at night too, you know, sort of more near the rocks and that, around the rocks. But we had big winds. It was really ripped up for a couple of days, Ilova side there. Very difficult to fish. So that's the story. Let's see what happens next week, and I hope those Christmas bottlenoses start coming. Go well till then.
Thank you so much for that, Gary. I'm glad to hear that Garrick and Kingfish are still on the bite. As for that shad, being taken on virtually anything, We are going to be getting into that very soon. But for now, moving on into Durban, we are with Mike V from the Kingfisher, and he is followed by Brad Krobler with this week's fishing reports.
How's it, bud? Yeah, the fishing's been good. It's been on fire, and the fishing's been bad, unfortunately. There's still been some fish to catch, but not a lot. We've had grays, diamonds, sandies, honeys, quite the variety all over the coast in the correct conditions, and quite a few of it. A couple goodies have been caught, 60s, 80s. Yeah, there's been some really, really good fish hooked and lost as well. I heard a couple guys on the north coast saying their reels got emptied very, very quickly. So there are some very, very big fish around. Edibles wise, still your normal on the go. Your bronze beam stumpies, your grunters, all been trying. All over the north coast as well, and south coast the guys have been getting. So it's not just been in one spot. That's been like all over scattered. The shad as well have been big. The guys have been releasing them. Well done. It's been a good job. I've seen some pictures of some really, really big ones. The bay grunters and the bay have been around. There's been some very nice ones caught, 4 or 5 kilo size. A lot of kingies, black tips and GTs, proper giant trevally has been caught on lures and on live bait. Offshore, the oaks have been getting some snook, some tuna. I know very far north, vital that side, they've even started getting some Dorado and that. So, yeah, looks like things are going to be hotting up towards December. Thanks, buddy.
Well, good day, guys. It's Brad here from Linsky Fishing Charters. So, guys, yeah, the last week, the weather didn't really play the game. We had gale force winds from all sorts of direction. But on the days we did get out, yes, guys, it's Dorado time. Yeah, Dorado's all around the shipping area. And the ships, there are plenty of Dorado around the thing. Everyone seems to be catching them at the moment. Water temperature is slowly increasing. It was 23 degrees today. So, yeah, we're getting closer to the real warm water when all the fireworks will start. We didn't do much bottom fishing, as from now onwards, I'm mainly going to be targeting the pelagics with the Dorado, the tuna, and the marlin. So, guys, yeah, tight lines, have fun, and, yeah, it's popcorn time.
Thank you so much, Mike and Brad. What a fantastic report. So much to look forward to. What a mixed bag of fish coming out of Durban and its surrounding areas. Whether you are targeting that edible or inedible action, those rods are bending, and some reels getting spooled right off. As for that popcorn season, well, I have been invited by Brad next week to go out and do some fishing with him. And after what I've just heard, I can't wait to see what's on the end of my line. Now, moving on to Belito and Salt Rock, we are with Jesse from the Kingfisher, and he is going to be telling us about this week's fishing report, where there has been some good fish being caught. However, this is where that serious news comes in. So, guys, please pay attention to what Jesse has to say.
Morning, Vinesh. Morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing all right. Getting some fishing done. I know that I've been very tempted to go down, even though we've been quite busy at work. Fishing seems to be picking up in a big way. And it is obviously the change of season. We're well into summer now, and we seem to be getting reports that indicate that. A lot of species that we normally get coming through a little bit later in the year coming through now already. So if that's anything to go by, I think we're going to have a massive season this year. It's going to be really good as far as I can mentally calculate. So let's see what happens. And it's been, like I said, it's been absolutely crazy with certain species. We've had the bronze bream stick around throughout the year in the last 2 years, but they do go very quiet when we come into, you know, kind of December time. When the water gets a bit too hot for them, and they either push out or they push south, and it's not that you won't catch one; it's just that it's very uncommon. But we do have guys in our Belito and Salt Rock Sheffield area catching bronze bream basically throughout the entire year, even one or two catches in December, and January, which is not really common to any other area. I just think it's our rock formations here that benefit us in that way. So the one thing that is quite interesting is we had last week a diver come in and tell us that there was a ton, an absolute ton of bronze bream holding very close to the rocks. And his exact words are, if you're standing on the rocks and you cast more than 2 meters, you've cast it too far, you're not going to get a bite. He says they are hugging the rocks so much that if you stand on the rocks, you've got polarized glasses and there's a bit of a flat, you can actually see the fish swimming around. So, yeah, what actually happened to him was he went out into the deep trying to spear a snook or a stumpy on one of the back banks and all of that, and didn't get anything. He was coming home empty-handed. And as he was coming in, he swam through one of the channels coming into a bay with the point on his left and the point on the right. And he said that the bronze bream and stumpies were absolutely stacked along the ledges there from the point into the bay. And as I said, 2 meters off the rocks. So he shot his 2 bronze bream, he shot a 6 kilo stumpy, and he came back with enough dinner for the next week. So, you know, that's good going. But it goes to show, sometimes we do cast way too far. And yeah, so that's that specifically, I don't want to give out the gent's spot, but that specifically was in the Sheffield area. So if you do want to go and catch a couple of bronzies, stumpies, he did spot some garrick as well, but out of respect for the dwindling numbers, he didn't take a shot, which I can respectfully. He managed to get some good dinner there. So yeah, guys, that area is doing phenomenal at the moment. And other than the bronze beam, we've seen a lot of small kingies come out on the spinning tackle. Again, stumpies, I've spoken to one of my more regular customers comes into the shop and buys a lot of sardine. And I said to him, listen, you know, it's the shad ban season. What are you buying so many sardines for? He says, no, he doesn't use sardine for shad. He uses them for stumpies, which I've been doing for many years. Sardine head is one of my favorite baits. And yeah, he told me that about 2 years ago, I let him in on the secret of sardine head for stumpies. And he went down on the first day that I told him, and he managed a lovely stumpy of 7 kilos, and he hasn't looked back ever since. He only uses stumpy head for sardines, and he says he gets a variety of species in the mix as well. He catches, obviously during shad season, he manages to hook a couple of shad on the trace. If he doesn't get bitten off, he says they're generally bigger shad. And then, yeah, other species as well, like the rock cod and cave bass and all of that. So he does quite well there. Yeah, fresh sardine head, that's what he's been getting the stumpies on. And he's been catching them in the Belita area all around, not a spot specifically. So if you want to go and target a stumpy, I can suggest sardine head. I normally put it on something like a Kendall Round 4-0 or 5-0. If you want to target those smaller stumpies, you can, but I wouldn't use anything less than about a 4-0 or 5-0 for our bigger Natal stumpies up this side. You can also use a ring soy. You can use a big gun, whatever hook you prefer. But yeah, I generally trust the mustads. They're quite strong, and I never had one fail on me. That's good enough for brusher and all of that type of stuff. And then, yeah, guys, moving down the coast, I think the water conditions are slightly improving for fishing, especially in the next week. The weather coming up seems to be a little bit better. I would expect quite a few fish to come out. The one thing that we've seen in the last week, and it's actually a bit of a sore topic, it's actually sickening, is the amount of shad that are coming out. As I mentioned before, we get to monitor and kind of calculate what's happening by the amount of bait that's bought in the shops. We get to see it all the time. We get guys coming in here, as I mentioned earlier with my customer with the stumpies and the sardine head. I mean, we saw how many sardines he was buying. If the bronze bream are on the bite, we see the guys pulling for prawns. If there's a lot of pompano around, or a lot of stumpies on a little bit further south, the guys generally enjoy the white mussels and baits like that that come in and grab that. So we can tell. We've got a very good idea of what's happening according to bait sales. And guys, it's a little bit of a tough one, and it puts any shop owner or store manager in a very tight spot, because we see the amounts of sardines being sold, Japanese mackerel being sold this time of the year. It is the shad ban season. It's closed for 2 months. We are going to open again in December, but the guys are just flat out ignoring it. And it's not everybody. There's a good couple of guys that are getting involved with the slaughter of the shad at the moment, but it is absolutely disgusting to see what's happening. As a shop assistant or manager or whatever, we have absolutely no say in it. If the guys come in and they want to buy sardines, or they want to buy needlepoint hooks with a number 6 AFW wire and some shad floats, I cannot do anything about it. It's not my position to do anything about it, but you know straight away what those guys are going to go do. And it you know, I have to bite my tongue every single time a guy comes in the shop and asks for that stuff during bad season. It's obviously on them. They can do whatever they want. They have to suffer the consequences if they get caught. But guys, the one thing that I always mention is education. A lot of these guys aren't catching fish to eat. They're catching fish to sell, because there is absolutely no way, when pictures circulate all over WhatsApp groups and Facebook and all of that of catches of shad that range between, you know, dozens and hundreds, and I'm talking literal hundreds of shad in a photo being circulated every single year. You get those photos going on every single year, the same as you get the picture of the Garrick down at Port St. John's. It's just mind-blowing to see that nobody is bothering to educate the guys on the beach. Obviously, it gets a little bit dangerous. As I mentioned in my previous speeches, the guys do often threaten people with bait knives and broken bottles and you name it. But guys, let's just get together as a community and try and educate these guys. They're not doing it for food. There are guys doing it for food, but how can you possibly, let alone eat hundreds of shad, how are you going to freeze them or keep them in the fridge? They're not going to keep. It's blatantly obvious that the guys are selling them, and they're probably selling them for next to nothing. In my opinion, is complete and utter nonsense. We have to try and educate these guys. If you take a look at the stocks of fish overseas, where it is incredibly regulated, with almost every single species. Look at the tailor and the bluefish. I mean, in Australia and America, we also get what we call shad, but you get them there up to 25 pounds, or even more. You know, they catch monsters over there, and it's all because it's regulated. The guys stick to the limits. Obviously, we've got issues like the authorities not being as present as they would be. But to be honest, there's ways and means to get around it. Everybody complains every year that the parks board or whatever authorities are there are in the area not doing a proper job, you know, letting things slide and all of that stuff. Guys, it's not up to the parks board or the police to stop this. It's up to us as the public to educate the guys and let them know what they're doing is wrong. You know, they don't need to go and catch 100 shad and sell them to get, you know, enough money to buy food for a week. Let them catch their 4 shad a day. They can take them home and eat them, and that's food. You know, it's actually disgusting to see. And I know I'm harping on about it, but it is honestly one of the heart sore points of my year. These 2 months when shad season is closed, and being in the shop every day, watching the guys come in and ask for bait. You know, not taking one box of sardines, 2 boxes of sardines. There's guys that come into the shop and take 10 to 15 boxes of sardines at a time. And I can't stop them. Nobody can stop them. They're entitled to buy as many sardines as they want. They're entitled to buy as many packets of shad hooks and steel trace as they want. It's not up to us to stop them. guys, please make an effort, as a lot of us in the fishing industry do, make an effort to educate the guys. I will often, when the guys come in and they talk about Chad and all that stuff, I will just mention to them, guys, hey, it's looking good. It's less than a month to go until we can start fishing for Chad again. You know, in the odd hope that the odd chance that these guys may not know that the Chad season is banned, and maybe now I'm imparting a little bit of knowledge that it's Chad ban season. I'll often print this time of the year a poster and put it up in the shop that stipulates the regulations, the ban season dates and all of that stuff, just to try and educate guys. Guys, it is up to us. There's nothing else that anybody is going to do. Nobody's going to come to the rescue. The authorities are nowhere to be seen for the vast majority of the year. And if we carry on at this rate, it's not sustainable. It's literally not sustainable, especially when photos get circulated of 100, 200 shad being caught, and we just sit there and we know for a fact that the next few days is going to be a storm of people coming into the shop and buying bait and shad tackle, and it is game over. You know that when the shad are biting that wild, there's nobody that's going to stop at their limits. And especially it's the herd mentality when the fish start feeding on the rocks and everybody's taking over their limit. The guy standing next to the guy that's just gone over his limit and taken his fifth shad says, you know what, if he can do it, so can I. Guys, it starts with us. Let's educate everybody and see if we can actually do something about this in a positive way once and for all. If we don't do anything, nobody's going to do it. And guys, that's the end of my rant. Please excuse the lengthy rant, but I'm at the point where I actually can't take to see it anymore. It's really sad. And you know, I want my children to be able to fish and catch fish. I want my children to be able to enjoy their fishing as I did. And at this rate, it doesn't seem like we've got that type of future ahead of us. So guys, let's just try and help everybody out here. Guys, thanks so much for the time and listening. That's my rant over. And before I end off, I just need to speak a little bit about the ski boat fishing that we've been having recently. On the North Coast, things have started to hot up quite a bit. And when I say quite a bit, the tuna catches are flowing through. The cooter catches are flowing through. The one or two snook as well, despite the really dirty water in a lot of our areas because of the rain we've received. But guys, it is looking good. The guys in Vidal are catching so many fish, it's actually frightening. And when I say that, I mean almost everybody that goes up there comes back with a fish or two every launch. And if it's that consistent and that frequent, then I've got a feeling we're going to have a massive season ahead of us. So guys, like I said, get out there, let us know what's happening, report back to us. If we can get the reports from everybody. We generally don't disclose spots and sensitive information. Give us your feedback. Tell us what's biting. You can give us a general area if you want. Tell us what bait the fish are being caught on. Your spot won't be full the next time you go around because we don't give spots out. And it'll just help everybody to get out there. Guys, enjoy your fishing. Until next week, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that, Jesse. I really appreciate your rant, actually. Now, on the show, I try to keep it as positive as possible. And unfortunately, we could not hold our tongue anymore. I was chatting with Jesse prior to his report for this week, and we were sharing our thoughts on these images that we have been seeing over this past week. His words were perfectly put. It is disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting to see how certain anglers out there can think this is perfectly fine what they are doing. And it really grates my nerves when I see other anglers applauding this. I mean, we constantly harp on educating each other. We constantly talk about fishing for our future. I think this show is well over 75 shows in. And since its inception, I've been going on about fishing for the future, keeping our fishing areas tidy and, you know, sustainable fishing, respecting the bag limits. And when I see images like this, you know, and you have to bite your tongue, because as Jesse said, you can't stop these guys from going and buying 15 boxes of sardines and hooks for shad and nylon-coated wire. We can't stop them, but we can try and educate them. It is so disturbing to see these images of guys with buckets of shad and all this shad lying around. You know, it is close season. I mean, I can't understand how or why they would not wait just 2 months to fish for a lifetime. To me, it personally comes down to being selfish, arrogant, apathetic, you know, just probably not caring about what they are doing to our stocks, to our future fishing. And if you are one of the anglers that are doing this and listening to the show, you know, I'm going to probably lose a few fans if you are that. But you know what? I'd rather not have you listen to the show. I mean, we are over 25,000 anglers that tune in. But if you are one of those guys, stop for a moment and think as to what you are doing. This is not some sort of bragging right you have to go and say, oh, I caught 100 shad in one night. That is absolutely, in our opinion, disgusting. But to the guys that are listening to this and, you know, agree with what I'm saying, yes, you know, please try and educate them. As long as it's not going to be hazardous to you, do whatever you can to tell the guys what they are doing is wrong. Report it, name and shame, do whatever you have to. But this cannot go on. It is beyond our comprehension when there is no sustainable fishing. So as Jesse had his rant, so did I. And I just hope we manage to get through to those anglers that do not respect the close season and our bag limits and size limits. And to my loyal listeners who are on the same page as me, please pardon me for this rant. It's just conservation is something I hold very dear to my heart, because I truly believe our future generations should be enjoying the spoils that we are blessed with here in South Africa, especially here in KZN, where fishing is really good most of the time and there's always something to catch. But that is going to come to a very short spell unless we educate those around us and we educate our youth, so we do not continue to be like those anglers that are bragging about this on these WhatsApp groups. All right, so that is mine and Jesse's rant for this week, and all my correspondents are on the same page as me. So now, while I take a moment to calm down, I'll leave you with Nick from Mtanzini Banks with this week's fishing report.
Hi, Vinesh. Fortunately, nothing to report on the deep sea. Nobody went out since last week. On the beach, what looks like a reticulated whiptail ray was caught, commonly known as a honeycomb ray. I just found out after the other day that that's actually the correct name. You get the Leopardus whiptail tail ray, which is one that looks like a leopard, and you get the other one that's got those white line zigzags, or whatever you want to call it, on them. That is the reticulated. Yeah, and a nice spotted grunter was also caught on Main Beach, a big one. Don't often get them in the surf, but yeah, so that was good. Then there's those fish that we're not allowed to talk about, plenty of them. Snappers, brown skate, but not a lot of diamonds. People keep phoning and asking, well, the diamonds here. Normally, you get them in the river first, up in the river mouth on those shallow banks. But there's been no recording of them being, or reports of them being caught there, or browns, or baby honeys. The baby honeys sort of come later on, they're more generally. February time, they get a hell of a fight on night tackle, great fun. So the river snappers seem to have gone off the bite, as of the Picanha Barracuda, but I think it's because the river's still quite dirty after all the rain we've had. Saturday we had a fishing clinic. The only officers took about 30 kids fishing, and they caught 7 species of fish and had a hell of a ball. Some of them were quite decent. I also got an eel, so they were fascinated by that. A lot of kids hadn't fished before. We had two ex-poacher angler and a current poacher angler. Susan Brett, who actually got gold medal fishing in Namibia earlier on this year. These edible. They actually hosted the clinic, and the kids are taught knots, and we taught how to do bait presentations. And I'm telling you, the kids were from, some of them were as young as about 3 or 4. We tried to have it for the 18 to 13 year olds, but they had an absolute ball. I think every single child landed a fish, and some obviously caught quite a few. Could be that we caught so many fish in those 2 hours was because there were so many baits in the water, like chum. Even though it was windy, they were taught how to sort of stand with their rod sideways as opposed to pointing into the water. And parallel with your body, you try and get it, the rod just going with the wind so you could see the bite. So the kids learned a lot. Oh, and it was good fun. We're going to do another one in December sometime. We've got a fishing family down the 16th of December. I've been asked to be Father Christmas. We've got the turkey trot where all the Zululand clubs come and fish for a turkey. They're also going to be doing a river cleanup. And I think the turkey trot will be on the Saturday the 10th, Sunday the 11th, I think it is. And then the ski boat guys are aiming to fish a monthly mug on the 4th of December, that weekend. Yeah, just gearing up for the season, as they say. We have had a ski boat comp before, between Christmas and New Year. Yeah, December is going to be a good place to be if you want a holiday in Emtonvini. There's plenty of stuff going on.
Thank you so much for that, Nick. Yes, Emtonvini is certainly going to be having a lot going on over the next couple of weeks. And buddy, well done on that kids clinic. Well, yeah, conservation, fishing for the future, that is what it's about. And as for that river cleanup, guys, be sure to contact Nick to if you want to be involved. Like we said, it's all about conservation. Now, moving on to Richards Bay, we are with Ali, and she's got another fantastic report, as she usually does. And this is what she had to say about fishing in her area over this past week.
Good morning, Vinesh. I hope you're doing well. The past week's weather was not the best, but it didn't stop anglers from going out fishing. Deep sea anglers have been catching some dorados while spinning or trawling dead baits, as well as some snook and a few other bottom fish. In our harbour, anglers had quite some luck catching plenty of salmon all over, especially using lures or live baits. And if all else fails, choco also works. But that's all for now. Thanks, guys, and tight lines.
Thank you, Ali. So, bad weather, but good fishing. Looks like that seems to be the case for the entire coastline. And to round off our coastline, well, the saltwater. But anyway, that brings us to Mr. Jeff Ashwood in St. Lucia, where he's reporting on St. Lucia and Cape Vidal. And guess what, guys? The fishing is better than the last month. Here is Jeff.
Morning, Vinesh, and all your listeners. This is Jeff from Legacy Charters in St. Lucia. Some good news, folks. Yeah, the fishing has definitely improved. Some tunas around and one or two bonnies. But the good news is that the dories are starting to make an appearance. There has been one or two per boat of late, and some decent sized ones. And then there's also been a marlin or two. Quite a few also been lost. I think just because the chaps are fishing too light, they're not targeting marlin, but the hookup is coming in. And so they're not being able to land them, but there has been one or two landed. Up at Vidal, pretty much the same story. But things do with the lots of rain that we've had. There's a lot of dirty water in and around the mouth area, so do have to go out deep to find some clean water, or just to wait for the wind to blow. And obviously if it's blowing northeasterly, then you just go north. If it's blowing the other way around, you go south. Fishing the color line always working, but same thing with the bait. You're not going to get bait in the dirty water, so you have to go to the cleaner water. Generally also on the color line, there's always a chance of getting some bait. But till the next fish, guys, Tight lines, everybody.
Thank you so much, Jeff. A fantastic report. I'm glad to hear that that fish is on the bite. And yes, I personally wouldn't mind the extra couple hours out if I'm getting onto that marlin. So guys, as Jeff said, make sure you go rigged for that because there are some big fish out there. Now that rounds off our saltwater report for this week. Moving on to the freshwater, we are with Jan from the Kingfisher Pietermaritzburg. And this is his report for this past week.
Hey guys, Jan here from the Kingfisher in Pietermaritzburg. With the recent heat spell, summer is definitely making itself felt here. Fantastically clear hot days, for most mornings that is, which ending in a late afternoon thunderstorm. Certainly enough water around, rivers are high, and dams are brimming. And if the long-term forecasts are anything to go by, there's still a lot more to come, as it seems that Madame La Nina is making her third annual appearance, for at least the first quarter of next year. So guys, prime your boats, get them ready. It looks like it's going to be a wet one. So while we're on the water, here's a quick roundup of dam levels. Midmar sitting at 98.2%, Albert Falls 95.4%, Spring Grove and Mearns dams both overflowing at 101 and 115% respectively. Wagon Drift on the Bushman's River is also overflowing at 102%. While we have lots of water, the heat spell, however, is starting to make things cook and water temperatures are on the up. Both river and stillwater anglers are reporting temperatures around 20 degrees centigrade. So as we've mentioned previously, we are on the warm end of the spectrum already. So guys, take it easy with the fish. As indicated by the overflow on Spring Grove and Mearns dams, both on the Moy River, there have been plenty of rain over the last week in the Cambridge Valley, which is the source of the Moy. So no reports from the river anglers for this stretch of water, as it is no doubt bank to bank and rather dirty. I have only two reports from river anglers from the Natal Fly Fishers Club. The first one comes from the Bushman's River Beats and noted that the river was indeed also bank to bank, flowing strongly and dark with colour, and there were no fish to notch up. While the second report comes from the Mgani River, a little bit higher up, and gives us some hope for anglers prepared to head upstream in search of less flow and cleaner water. Only a single fish was reported in the 13 to 15 inch, that is 33 to 38 centimetre bracket, but as they say, a fish is a fish and better than none. In summary then, my take would be to head upstream as far as possible in search of better water. Smaller fish maybe, but good clean fun to be had as opposed to battling with strong dirty water lower down and coming away empty-handed. The still waters have also taken a bit of a knock with the rains. From all the input, waters are not as clean as one would hope, and with the weather chopping and changing gear like it has been over the last week, making it difficult to get out and find a decent gap in the weather. There has been, however, a handful of reports from intrepid anglers who are finding these gaps, and some really good fish have been reported in the 17 to 21 inch, that is 43 to 53 centimeter bracket, which just goes to show that the old adage still holds true. The fly must be in the water if you want a chance to catch a fish. There was, however, no mention of these successful flies, unfortunately, but with water holding color, large dark flies should definitely be topping your go-to list. As mentioned previously, the NFFC is holding a river clinic over the last weekend of this month. That is next weekend, 25 to 27 November. And I believe that there are still some places left, so give the NFFC a shout if you are keen to get in on this moving water action, pun intended. No word from the scaly anglers, as I think it's just chocolate milkshake in the lower stretches, as mentioned previously, and still full flow and dark and dirty. A dearth of news and reports seems to indicate that the bass fishing has taken a backseat at late. Well, that is, unless anglers are playing their cards close to their chest. Which, actually, I suspect is the case, with a certain competition that is going on currently. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. So, as we know, summer is prime bass season, and for there to be no, and I mean none, zip, zero, nada, nix, nothing, no reports of fish coming in, I think there's something definitely cooking, something fishy going on. So I think all it leaves is we can say good luck to those anglers. And let's, boys, come on, let's see those resorts, or those results rather, when they do make the light of day. Show and tell. So guys, stop by the Kingfish in Maritzburg for the best in tackle advice, tight lines, and keep it tidy.
Thank you so much for that, Jan. You're an absolute legend, especially with those puns intended. Yeah, so thanks for that detailed report on those dam levels. Certainly with this rainy season, it is very interesting to know which ones are overflowing and what we can expect when we get out there. As for those go-to flies, legendary information, my friend. As for those bass anglers, well, yeah, they are certainly keeping their cards close to their chest. As you said, something fishy going on. Now, guys, that rounds off our KZN report for this past week. As our reporters have mentioned, it is going to be a bit of big seas, rainy weathers, rough, dirty water. But the fish are there, and this weekend, especially from Sunday onwards, is certainly shaping up to be the day to get out there and get those rods bending. Guys, that rounds off our show. This has certainly been a bumper one. I mean, this is our longest time running on a podcast show, almost double, in fact, from our previous ones. And because there were news that needed to be mentioned, there was some good news, there was some bad news, there was some concerning news. There was, more importantly, conservation news. And apart from that, there is news as to where your fishing zone is going to be for this weekend. So that rounds it off. I am Vanessa Green for Angler News South Africa. And until next week, keep that fishing area tidy, respect the close season, and fish for the future. Guys, special thanks to the Kingfisher for making the show possible. We could not do this without them, and more so, we could not do this without the expert correspondents from their stores. So guys, always make sure to support those that support you, and in this case, the Kingfisher.
This show is proudly brought to you by the Kingfisher. The Kingfisher has stores in Hunter Street, Durban, Tackle Center, Durban, Warner Beach, Pietermaritzburg, Kloof, Ballito, and now in Salt Rock at the Tiffany Center.